I mean, if we found a good, like, deal to make with a major record label, we would probably go for it.
This is my friend Sophie Kasikov. If she sounds young, it's because she is. This is a clip from an interview Sophie did when she was 12.
But we're not really searching.
Yeah, we're not really searching for that.
Most 12-year-olds aren't on the radio talking about their record deals to be. But Sophie's life at age 12 was pretty different from most 12-year-olds. When Sophie was 9, she and her best friend Izzy started a band. They liked listening to the Ramones together, and they decided to start playing. And Sophie says that at the beginning, it was just another extracurricular activity, like playing soccer or going to chess club.
I mean, that was like how it started, just sort of enrichment, whatever.
This is Sophie now. She's 19, goes to Brown.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that we like thought, no, I know we didn't think when we started that it would turn into this big thing. It was just like, we know how to play instruments, why not?
But it did turn into a big thing, a really, really big tween fame kind of thing. But back in fourth grade, nobody was planning on any of that. Sophie and Izzy were just starting a band in a basement. Hopes or dreams, just one big smile. She's got no brains, but she's got style. They called their group Care Bears on Fire. They practice every day after school, eat a bunch of snacks, and write songs and play music.
I think a lot of the time when you're performing, you just feel like really like powerful. I don't know, like what you're doing feels pretty important. We were just like really trying to be super punk.
Something about these small girls playing really big music, it worked for people. Sophie and Izzy started getting called for more interviews and booking more shows at bigger venues. And by the time they were in eighth grade, Sophie and Izzy had played at festivals like South by Southwest and Lollapalooza. They had a record label and a summer-long tour set up.
We played at this show, I don't remember what it was called, but like Justin Bieber played and Selena Gomez, and we played also.
I love hearing these stories. Probably because this life that Sophie's talking about, as a 12-year-old, that was my dream, and I don't think that's uncommon. But I think when I imagined that as a kid, I was totally dreaming about the perks. I had no concept of how working for a record label can be really, really complicated, especially when you're young.
I mean, they also gave us a lot of money for the record advance and had to make it back. That's how it works. A lot of the way that you make it back is by, especially when you're 13-year-olds, having them do, like, TV stuff.
Sophie says that once it became clear that Care Bears on Fire could be a really big thing, both she and Izzy wanted that. But they were also really unsure about this publicity work, mostly because they were seriously worried about selling out, about whether one more ad or one more audition would mean that they'd done it. They argued about it all the time.
Like, you would sit around and talk about, like, have we sold out?
Yeah.
That's so interesting because when you think about kid bands, like...
It automatically is selling out. And that was a lot of the concern, was, like, are we selling out just because we are, like, 13 and we're playing music and, like, Justin Bieber exists?
I asked Sophie how she and Izzy even conceived of selling out at that age.
I remember, like, reading Just Kids, Patti Smith's book, and just, like, thinking about what success meant for her. She would just, like, play shows with Lou Reed all the time, and, like, everyone would just be, like, just making music in the most, like, organic way possible, where they would just happen upon a church, and, like, someone would just be playing guitar, and then someone would just start reading poetry, and it was just, like, how there was this place you could go, sort of. Where there was a real community. No one cared about, like, making money or, like, getting famous. And, like, we never found anything like that. Things stopped in sort of two stages, I guess. We stopped working with our label. The way that we were making music, it made sense when we were younger because we weren't that, like, deliberate as people when you're that young, like... We didn't know, like, exactly what we wanted to be making. We didn't know exactly how we wanted to be making it. But we got to a point where we were like, no, like, we know what we want to be making, and the people we're working with are, like, not going to be the right people to help us do that.
Sophie says she remembers the moment when she and Izzy processed what the decision really meant. They were riding the subway back from school, talking about it, and sobbing all the way home.
It was us talking about more than just, like, dropping the label, like, actually, like, ditching the whole band, just like starting a new project entirely.
A new project that would be more explicitly political, more explicitly feminist, more like something Patti Smith might approve of. They called it Claire's Diary.
One, two, three, four!
like wrote about being a feminist in high school and like being a girl musician and like being pissed off at how America treats women. And like we also just played shows where everyone felt that way.
But those shows where everyone felt that way, they never had the kind of audience that Care Bears on Fire did.
With Claire's Diary, in the moment where we most wanted to, like, really have a message and, like, really get it to people, we were only reaching the people in that venue right there at that moment. Those, like, 40 or 50 people. Or less. So that was frustrating to think of this time when I had this platform that was really big and maybe I didn't use it right.
I met Sophie last year, and it was months before we talked about Care Bears on Fire. This interview was the first time she told me about Claire's Diary and why it was different and more important. I guess I didn't really understand how something that was clearly so meaningful, feminist activism, feminism through music, and outspoken activism in general, I mean, could become something I only learned about a year into our friendship.
Do you feel like you're, like, doing that work now?
No. I don't think that I feel qualified right now to, like, have a message that's as clearly defined as I felt empowered to in that moment.
Because you came to college and, like,
learned that I have no idea what I'm talking about ever. I was in this world where, like, most people weren't thinking about any of this stuff. So I was like, oh, okay, so I am thinking about this. So therefore, I can think about it loudly. And then, like, once you get to a place where everyone around you is thinking about things, you're like, oh, like, I have no authority to do this.
Because really, who can ever be as confident about their beliefs in college as they were in high school, or as they were in middle school or elementary school if you're Sophie? In this place where it seems like everyone's an expert or everyone's wrong, where there are thinkers on thinkers and we need to question everything all the time, it's hard to even keep a solid opinion, much less get on stage and sing about it. But Sophie hasn't completely given up on having a message.
The idea that, like, maybe if you Googled me in 60 years, Care Bears on Fire would still come up first. That's troubling. So I do feel this pressure to do something else that'll put it on, like, page 3 of Google.
This story was produced by students from Now Hear This. You can find more stories at our website, nowhearthis.org. And we want to know, did you love it? Hate it? Do you want to know more? We want your feedback. Send us an email at nht@ripr.org to let us know what you think. That's nht@ripr.org.